In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and unto the ages of all ages, amen. Our meditation this evening is entitled, Power of the Resurrection. And it is based on the verse of St. Paul to the Philippians 3:10-12, that reads, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God willing, we want to discuss tonight, what is the resurrection to me? What difference has it made in my life? Just like in the little video video clip that we just saw together, the man was saying, I grew up in the church, in Sunday school. I heard about the story of the resurrection, but it was exactly just that, a story. It was not tangible. It was something that happened many years ago. It was like my grandfather's stories about war and the heroism that occurred there. I knew that it was something great, but it was just outwardly, and I could not internalize it. I didn't have any personal connection to it, and it just wasn't real. Also, growing up, going to school, going to university, living in a secular world today, it has built in me skepticism and doubts, and I started to stray away from the core of Christianity. And I couldn't find any connection with it. Maybe some of us, and I do that sometimes, I go through the motions. It is time for a feast, let's get dressed, and everyone looks spick and span. I do too, I got my new galabeya and put some cologne. Maybe when you greet me, you will realize it. Wonderful things outwardly. And definitely the outwardly and the physical things help us to connect, but in many times, that's as far as we get, just going through the motions, going through the celebrations. But when we really think about it, the resurrection of Christ has to be way beyond than just the outwardly emotions. This gentleman, he was a Christian, and he, you know, participated in Easter productions, he got married, and then he started to realize that the world, that life, real life, has so many struggles. Frustrations, disappointments, anxieties, mortgage, children. He felt afraid and alone. He felt that everyone else has it all together, but he was the only one who was broken. I'm sure that many of us feel this way. We feel that everyone around us in the church is perfect, and I'm the only one who doesn't have it figured out. But guess what? Because of the original sin that we have all fallen into, all of us have gone astray and are broken in heart. We are all looking for purpose and a meaning to life. And it was only through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that now we have this meaningful life. And that's why you and I need to start digging deeper into the meaning and the understanding of the resurrection. St. Paul tells us that if Christ has not resurrected, then our faith is futile. I'm sure living in a multicultural world today, people are thinking, which religion is the right one? So many faiths and religions and denominations, and it gets confusing at times. So the Lord Jesus made a claim that no one else has made throughout history. He claimed that he was the Son of God. He was God incarnate in the flesh. And he said to his disciples that he will surely die and rise again on the third day. Now maybe if we go into a little investigation about the resurrection, we'll understand that it was only through the life of Christ that we have assurance of the kingdom of heaven and assurance of our faith. One person called Lee Strobel has gone on such a journey. And this book called The Case for the Resurrection is available in the library there. You can acquire a copy. We got many copies from it. And he went on a journey, and he was a skeptic. He said, if the claims in the Bible are correct, then Jesus is worth my adoration and praise. But if I discover through my skepticism that all of it is a hoax, then I am not a believer and I will never be a believer. He went on this journey in order to search for Christ. And St. Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, that this was the faith in the resurrection was the centerpiece of all of Christianity. And this is also what the disciples have done. As they have went all around the world, they were preaching Christ and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the assurance of the resurrection. Here is what he said, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, now how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. This is what Lee Strobel has said. If this turns out to be a big hoax, then no one in the world should believe in Christ and in the claims that he has made. We notice that the early church focused on nothing else except on the death and resurrection of Christ. My beloved, if Christ had only just died, he would have been like any other preacher or so-called prophet or whatever. But it is only through his resurrection that we are assured that all his claims are correct. Let us go on this journey together to prove the resurrection and to understand the power of his resurrection. These points which are present in this book here take us through this journey. Number one, we need to understand that our Lord Jesus surely died on the cross. The way that the Romans have executed any criminal, they would not leave him halfway dead. After all the nails and the stripes and the beating and the crown of thorns and the spear on his side, and he was left there, and when they came to break his knees, they found that he was already dead. So before we speak about the resurrection, we have to be sure, because some people are claiming, well, maybe he was just in a coma and he woke up. No, that's not what happened. Everything that he went through, that the evangelist went into detail with, proved to us that he really died on the cross before they took him down. Our second proof is the empty tomb. Where did he go? And how was it possible that he came out from inside? The soldiers said that his disciples came and they took him and they stole him while we were sleeping. And this was a big lie, because how would they have known that his disciples came if they were sleeping? It's a contradiction. And they gave some money to the people to say, to the soldiers, to say what they have said. The Lord was laid there and the tomb was sealed. And there is no way that someone would have gone inside to steal the body. But on the contrary, the Lord rose from inside and he came by himself through the power of his divinity. Our third proof, that women were the ones who discovered the empty tomb. You say, so what? Yes, so what in our world today? Because we're all sitting together, equality and, you know, women's rights and all of these things. But this wasn't the case 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, according to Jewish tradition, the last thing that the evangelist could have done to prove the Lord's resurrection was to say that women were the ones who have witnessed to the resurrection. Women didn't have any weight in the judicial system. As a matter of fact, Jews thank God every day that they were created as men. And they said, cursed is the man who has female children. It was a brutal time to live in. Thank God we don't live in that age anymore. But this is what happened. And the evangelist took a wager that the people would doubt their claims by writing down that it was the Marys that professed and confessed to the resurrection. And this is a further proof of the authenticity of the witness of the evangelist, that women were the ones who discovered the empty tomb, and they were the ones who said to Peter and to the rest of the disciples. Number four, the Lord appearing to Emmaus, to the disciples traveling to Emmaus. On that road to Emmaus, if the Lord was just in a coma or had been extremely like beaten and tired, he wouldn't have the strength to travel from city to city. But the Lord was in his full strength during this journey. Our Lord Jesus did indeed rise from the dead, and he took on that resurrected body that we may live again. My beloved, the early church preached nothing except Jesus and his resurrection. And in the book of Acts 17, verse 18, as the disciples entered into Athens, this was the mark of their preaching. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached them Jesus and the resurrection." He preached Jesus and the resurrection. Our Lord Jesus surely died on the cross. There was a proof of an empty tomb, and there's no way that this body could have been stolen. Women discovering the empty tomb. On the road to Emmaus, our Lord Jesus had full strength in himself. Number five, the amazing thing about the resurrection of Christ, that his sightings after his resurrection was not just to one or two people, but it was to hundreds of people. 1 Corinthians 15, 13, 3 to 9 tells us how many people have seen the Lord after his resurrection. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for us according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And then he was seen by James and by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." Look at the number of sightings. It wasn't just someone who was hallucinating, but his resurrection was proven by an eyewitness, by hundreds of eyewitnesses. Finally, a proof of his resurrection was the multiple stories of conversions. If you remember, James, his half-brother, was not a believer in the Lord's lifetime. As a matter of fact, none of his cousins believed on him. But after we see this verse here, and that he saw him after the resurrection, he was seen by James. Guess what? James became the bishop of Jerusalem. And he led the council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. He was converted and he believed. Who else? St. Paul himself. He saw the risen Christ. And he was converted from a Jew and someone who is a Pharisee and someone who's very tight in Judaism into a Christian. So the account of these conversions were all proofs of his true resurrection. And that's why I want to say we cannot have any doubt concerning the resurrection. We cannot have a maybe, or it's possible, or it's a nice story, but it's just an outwardly story. It doesn't work this way. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. And if there is no Christianity, there is confusion in the world that we live in today. And that's why we need to know and to live in the power of his resurrection. Once we realize that the Lord really died, rose from the dead on his own accord, no one else raised him. He rose by himself. He conquered death. We start to understand that there is no other name. There is no other name that anyone could be saved by except in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It's not like maybe this person or that person. No, no, no. It's only through Jesus Christ. Salvation is only through our victorious Lord. He is the one and only. There is no other name. In the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, we have attained victory. Remember this man, he said, "I've been living in defeat. The world just has been cramming on top of my head. I have disappointments and frustrations and struggles and anxieties and mortgages and payments." Well, guess what? The Lord Jesus has given us victory through his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 56, speak to us about this victory, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor corruption. Behold the mystery, we shall not sleep, but we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has no more power. Death has been conquered and defeated. For this reason, Saint Macrina, who is the sister of Saint Gregory of Nyssa, on her deathbed said something that is so beautiful. She said, O Lord, you have freed us from the fear of death. You have made the end of life here the beginning of a true life for us. You give rest to our bodies in sleep, and you awaken us again with the last trumpet. The dust from which you fashioned us with your hands, you give back to the dust of the earth for safekeeping. And you who have relinquished it will recall it after reshaping with incorruptibility and grace our mortal substance. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? For we now have victory in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The third lesson to learn from the power of the resurrection is that we are now dead to sin, but we are alive to Christ. That we have been changed. The resurrection has transformed us from inside. We are no longer the same people, and we cannot pretend to be the same people anymore. If we have tasted the beauty of the Lord Jesus, then our life will be transformed. We will have the joy that His Holiness just spoke to us about. We will resist the temptation, and we will flee away from it. The devil will leave us alone once we fight him and we renounce him in the name of Jesus Christ. St. Paul in Romans 8, 10 and 11 says something that's really amazing. I love that verse. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Through his spirit, he dwells in you. Through the spirit, he dwells in us. He gives us a new beginning and a new spirit. We are now dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And the fourth and final lesson we learn is our personal transformation to live for Christ and for others. Jesus died for us and rose from the dead to give us fellowship, that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him who has died for us and rose from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, it covers us, it changes us, it makes us into these wonderful new people. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The power of the resurrection means that there is no other name for salvation, that we have victory in Christ, that we are now dead to sin and alive to Christ, that we have undergone a personal transformation. It is so amazing when someone comes new into our assembly and he says, I have met in the church transformed people. People who are serious about the love for God and the spiritual walk. We were welcomed, we were loved. We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. This is what the church is all about. But not only inside the church, but also outside in the world. He needs to change us from inside. He needs to take away that heart that has been made of stone and give us a new heart made of flesh. This is our prayer tonight, that He will give us a new resurrected heart. In conclusion, my beloved, I want to say, what is my personal response to the resurrection? Yes, we all prepared for today's or tonight's liturgy. Many went out to buy new clothes and among so many other accessories. We could have been doing anything else, but we wanted to be in the church. We are here not because we have to, but because we want to. What am I pleading from Christ today before I leave this church? It would be a shame that we all went through all this preparation to come and to leave this place the same way that we have entered into it. What is my personal response to the resurrection? What am I asking Christ to take from him today? How does the assurance of his resurrection affect my life from this point forward? Will it affect my relationship with my spouse or siblings or parents or co-workers? The way that I will be faithful from this point forward? How will I witness to the resurrection? The early church did nothing except preach Christ and the resurrection. Christ's resurrection did not only save me, but completed me. He died for me, and he rose for me. The gentleman that we saw in the beginning concluded the video by saying that now I have purpose. Now I know God's love. Now I have peace and joy. All my failures and anxieties are laid to rest. Christ's action not just saved me, but completed me. He died for me, and he rose for me. Let us live a life of victory and joy in the resurrected Christ and continue our walk together hand in hand as brothers and sisters, looking towards the heavenly kingdom and looking forward for letting go of this temporal world and living with him eternally in heaven. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.